Kumlen Lablak Gemaras, Mitzray Simchas Teira, Tovshin Pei Aleph. We are up to the Samach Gimel Amar Aleph, the very top line, first words. The last thing we're talking about is things which are so obvious. Are you allowed to paskin in the presence of your Rebbe? And we said that all of the years while Rab Chizda's Rebbe, Rab Huna, was around, even a simple question like eating an egg with milk, according to Tesis, we're talking, actually talking about an egg that's you found inside the chicken, and it wasn't yet completed. If you're allowed to eat with milk, and yet he wouldn't paskin while his Rebbe was around. And then he asked, what about, let's say, something like Megillas Tainus? So we said, no, you cannot paskin in the presence of your Rebbe or even in the distance, as the Gemara will explain in a minute. So after that, some Gimel Amar Aleph. Rab Hamnuna, Oidi, he would rule Becharta. We start us out of this, we'll start again. Rab Hamnuna ruled in the place called Charta, the Argus, that belonged to a person called Argus, Bishnei de Rab Chizda. In the years of Rab Chizda. Rab Chizda was, we'll see later how he did that. So it says the Gemara, Ravina, Sor Sakina Bebavel. It used to be that they used to, that if you came to a city and you wanted to shech, you would take your knife and go to the Chacham of the city, the Rav of the city, and show your knife, make sure there's no blemishes on it. Not so much for him to check, because obviously you had to know what you're doing to qualify to be a shechet, but more to give him covered. The recognition he deserves. Today, the Rabbanim collectively will make that covered, even though still some communities we have that minig. So Ravina went ahead and he checked out a knife for someone to use. Amale Ravashi, Ravashi said to him, I'm your Rebbe, my timer, oh, Marachi, why did you go ahead and check? You're not allowed to paskin when in the presence of your Rebbe. Amale, so he said that, what I'm saying, what your problem is. The Rav Hamnuna, we just learned, Rav Hamnuna, Oidi, he paskin, Becharta, in the city of Charta, the Agi belonged to Agis, Bishnei de Rav Chizda, in the time of Rav Chizda. Okay, it wasn't right in front of him, it was but his Rebbe was alive, and he paskin, so why can't I do the same thing? Amale, he said, Rav Ashi said, I actually learned, Lav Oidi Itmar, I actually learned that he did not paskin while Rav Chizda was alive. Amalei, so Ravina said to Ravashi, "Itmar oidi, vi itmar la oidi." So Ravina says there is two versions, and they're both correct that he did paskin, didn't paskin. So it goes like this: Bishnei de Rav Huna, Rabbe Rav Huna, who was strictly his Rebbe, the la oidi, he refused to paskin. But the oidi, he did paskin. Bishnei de Rav Chizda, in the time of Rav Chizda, who was also his Rebbe, partial Rebbe, he paskin. Why? The Talmud Chaver de Lehaver, because he was like a Talmud, but also an equal. And Rashi, we have this expression many times, but Rashi here explains, what does it mean, a Talmud Chaver? So he says it means that in Chachma, you're equal to your Rebbe, and he only taught you one or two things. Therefore, because he only taught you one or two things, you're called a Talmud Chaver. You still have to show some a modicum of respect, and therefore, you don't, what do you call it? So you don't paskin right in the same city, but outside the city you could. And the way Tosfos understands the Gemara here is that in order to be able to paskin, you have to have two things. It has to be outside of three parsa, and it has to be like a Talmud Chaver, not just anybody. Others understood that this Gemara is talking about only within three parsa, within 12 kilometers. Then you have to be a Talmud Chaver, but outside 12 kilometers, even if you're not a Talmud Chaver, you're allowed to paskin. You're allowed to paskin. Says the Gemara, and Ravina concludes, Vanonami Talmud Chaver, the Marana. I am equal to you. I'm a Talmud Chaver. As we know that who concluded Shas? Ravina and Ravashi are the ones who concluded the whole Shas. They put together, compiled the whole Shas. So he says, Yitaka taught me a couple of things, but I'm equal, so therefore I can paskin. The next Gemara, I don't really understand the names, but I'll just listen to the Gemara inside. Amar Rav, whatever says, but if you are a Talmud Chacham, then Chazel Nafshe, and you're shechting for yourself, you don't even have to show the covet to the Chacham of the city. You can just go ahead and shech for yourself. Ravina, Ikla Lemechuzah, once came to the city of Mechuzah where Rav was the Rav. I see Ush Pizichna Sakine, so the host brought him a knife. And the Kamachle, the host brought a knife to Ravina for him to check. Amalei. So he says, sorry, but Kamachal, he's showing it to Ravina, Ravina was checking it. So Amale, he said to him, Zil Amtil Rabba. So why? Why don't you go and show it to the Rava? What are you showing it to me for? Show it to the Rava. He's the Rava of the town. Amalei, so he said to him, the host said to him, don't you believe how the Amar Rava, Rava said, that a rabbi can see for yourself, and since I'm shechting this animal to feed you, so really you're doing it for yourself. So you should be able to check it yourself. What do I have to bring it to Rava for? Amalei, so Ravina said, I'm not shechting myself. You're shechting it, I'm checking it, and I'm buying it from you. That's not what Rava was talking about. Rava was talking about if I actually shechted the animal for myself, the animal belonged to me. Now, the only difficulty I have with the Gemara in Gittin, we're going to learn, says, when the day that Rava passed away, Rav Ashi was born. So Rashi, the Gemara in Gittin, takes that literally. Ravina was a Talmud Chav Rav Ashi. So you have to assume that he was younger than Rav Ashi. How in the world could he have been already a Talmud Chacham in the times of Rava? Some of the ages don't compute. And if he was a Talmud Chacham Rava, he would have been much older than Rav Ashi. How could he even be a Talmud? Anyway, says the Gemara. Gemara continues. I just lost the place here. Rabbi Lozer Mahagronya, and the Rab Abba, and others say it's Rab Acha. There'll be a whole bunch of Rab Achas here. Rab Acha, the son of Tachlifa, Iklo, that happened to once come around. We're going to learn about this thing of Paschal in Yerebbe's presence. Levei Rab Acha Brevike, so Rab Acha Bar Tachlifa and Rabbi Lozer went and met Rab Acha, the son of Rabika, Ba'aseh Rab Acha Ba'yakov, in the city where Rab Acha Ba'yakov was the Rav. So he had three Rab Achas here. Wasn't a proper name. Boy Rab Acha Bered Rabika Lemevel Iglet Tilsa. So Rab Acha, the son of Rabika, wanted to go ahead and get an Iglet Tilsa. Iglet Tilsa means either the third-born calf, because it's the fattest, or a calf that is a third mature, like a veal, but not so young, a bit older, a third of growth. And supposed to be the best time. Icy Sakina, they brought a knife, and showed it to other Rabbanim. Amr Rab Acha Bar Tachlifa said, Leilechuz Leilesava, why are you showing it to me? What about the rabbi of the city, who was an older gentleman, Rab Acha, other Rab Acha, Rab Acha Bar Yaakov. Amlu Rabbi Lazar says, you don't have to, because Hachem Rabbi said, Tzurma Rabbanu Chazil Nafshi, a rabbi can see for himself. So therefore, we can do it. Chazi, he looked at it, the Anish Rabbi Lazar Mahagroni, he was punished. Asked the Gemara why, but we hear definitely they're doing it for themselves. But Amar Rabbi, didn't Rabbi say, Tzurma Rabbanu Chazil Nafshi, a rabbi can see for themselves, so why were they punished? Shani Hossam, here's different, as Chil Bechwadi, you started talking about giving cover to the Rav, and by dismissing it, that in itself, is an insult. If you don't talk about it, it's one thing. You talked about it, you said, we don't have to. You just insulted him. Or your boy say, Mishayin Rabachla Yaakov, he was different than Muflik. He was older and wiser than all of them. So they should have given him the covenant. Says Rava, Omar Rava, says Rava, furthermore, even though we say you're not allowed to pass in the present of Rebbe, but La Frusha Misudev, the purpose is to prevent someone from doing an Aveda, then I feel a bit fun of Shapadami, even in front of them, you're allowed to do that as well. Rabbi Yossi, you see, Ravina was like a student before Rav Ashi. So the way we lived in Gemara before, he would have been far, at least 30 years older than Rav Ashi. Chazi, he saw a person tying together a donkey bitzinta to a palm tree b'Shabbat on Shabbos. But you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos. Rama Beikali started to shout, and the man refused to listen to him. So he said, Ravina said, I'm putting this person in Chedim. Here his Rebbe is sitting right there. He said, I'm putting the person in Chedim. Amalei. He then turned to Rav Ashi. Ki ha-gavna mi mizchazi b'avkirusa. Did I just do something wrong? Is this some kind of hefkeda? Because I'm paskening in front of you. Did I do the wrong thing? Amalei, Rav Ashi said, ein chochma ve'ein tvuna ve'ein eitza negen Hashem. You shouldn't be too wise and too understanding, or don't look for advice when it comes to representing the Eibishter. No, there's a chil Hashem. There's a chil Hashem thing in place. Don't worry about the rabbis. If they're quiet, you go ahead and jump up and down. Do what you have to do. Amar was a rabbi. If you pass in front of your rebbe, also is forbidden and chayiv misa. You're liable to death. If you did not do it in front of your rebbe, then also is forbidden ve'en chayiv misa. But it's an aveda, but you're not chayiv misa. Says the Gemara, you're not. Shleib b'fanav loy v'tani. We learned Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer said, why did the children of Aaron die you know, Nodav Aviv. Why did they die on the eighth day of the celebration? Achahodu halachim from the Moshe Rabbim, because they, what they did long, what wrong was, they made a ruling in the presence of their Rebbe. My daughters, what was it all about? It says in Pasuk, v'nosnu bnei Aaron hakoin eish al mizbeach, they went ahead and they lit the fire on the mizbeach. Omru, because they decided, afa pisha eish yoyim shmayim. True, miraculously, there's a fire that came down from heaven, and says in B'yavis, nevertheless, mitzvah lo havim in a hedyet. It's still mitzvah to what? To bring your own fire as well. So they made a ruling for the Moshe, and that's why they deserve to be punishment. Tosfos has an issue with this. Tosfos says the fire that we, that they say that comes down from heaven is only on the outer Mizbech. And Ketedis is brought on the inner Mizbech. So Tosfos therefore says that maybe we're talking about it here, they went to the outer, the whole story happened on the outer Mizbech. Because inner Mizbech, you don't use the fire from above. You take from the Marocha, from one of the pyrons that are on top of the Mizbech. So, in other places, it seems that they actually went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that's where they got burnt. And Hanani Shazai had to go, you know, and Meshavah Zai had to go and pull them out. So it's not clear what actually happened there. Anyway, the bottom line is they died. And they did not. The Talmud Echad Hoy Labeleze said, yeah, so we see that they, and what do we see from here? and the Chodesh, they made the ruling, not from Moshe Rabbeinu, wasn't in the room with them when they made this ruling, and yet they died. So that's a question, number one. And it continues further. The Talmud Echad, there's a student of Lezer, student. But that's not just a strong question, because maybe you can say that's considered in front, because they're all there. But maybe there's a further story. The student, Rabbi Lezer, Shahid Halacha, he paskin Halacha before Rabbi Lezer. Omar Rabbi Lezer said to his wife, Ima Shalom, who was the sister of Gamliel, he said to his wife, to me, I'm wondering in Yetzes Eshnasa, this guy is going to survive the rest of this year. He didn't survive the rest of the year. So he says here, are you a Novi or something? How do you know he's going to die this year? I'm not a Novi nor am I the son of a Novi. I have a rule. Anybody makes a ruling in front of his Rebbe, Chai Misa, Chai Misa. And the Omer Rabbi Chana, what's that question? So he was there in front of his Rebbe. So he's Chayim Misim. Because Rabbi Chana said, Omer Rabbi Yechin, Oy say Talmud Yehuda be Gur Yishmai. The name is Yehuda, the son of Gur Yishmai. Vayorochek mimenu sholosh parsoyas. He lived three parsoyas away, 12 kilometers away. And yet he died. Kasha Rabbi. So Gemara says, before of Havah. No, at the time of the story, he was right before the blessing. So what are you talking about? Vayorochek mimenu sholosh parsoyas. He said to him that was three parsoyas away. And so he goes back with time. Let me ask you, Shmoy v'shem Avi Lama. Why do you have to know his father's name? El Shlatoyim Moshala. You're just trying to tell you the name of the person, his address, but not that the story happened. The story happened in front of Abeleza. I'm just giving you the name and address, so you should know that this story is not some kind of a fable or a myth. It's actually what happened. Anybody who passes from his Rebbe, a snake should bite him. It says, Yan Elio ben Barkiel. It says that Elihu ben Barkiel, Habuzi, and he answered, Royemir, he said, Sonny Liyamim, he said, I am young, Al Kain Zochalti. And therefore, I did not give any dais on anything. So what? Uksiv, and it says, by the Kirchhoff, it says, Im Hamas Zochle offer, that you will be punished with a snake that crawls in the ground. So we use the same word zochalti and zochli, that tells you the what, that he didn't say anything before his rebbes, but if he would have said something, he would have died from bitten from a snake, and that's why he's scared. So then was a Zili, says then Chanina. In fact, Nikol Choyt is called a sinner. Shemem it says, "Belibi tzafanti minusecho." I hid your word. I didn't want to say anything in front of you. Lemale echtelach. I didn't want to sin before you. So we see clearly if you paskin in the jurisdiction of your rebbe, it's a sin. If I'm nuna rabbi, everyone actually asks a question. See, one pasuk says, "Belibi tzafanti minusecho." I hid your words in my heart. Uksiv, another pasuk d'omel says, "Bisarti tzadik mekorav," that I said by the laws in front of a large crowd. I didn't conceal anything. Like Kasha, his Rebbe was Ida Hayyidi. His Bizman she Ida Hayyidi. Kaim his Rebbe was alive. He said, "I hid the words." Kan Bizman she ain't Ida Hayyidi. Kaim his Rebbe was no longer alive. That's when I paskined. Even though his Rebbe was a Kohen, and even though Hayyidis Yoy ben Menashe, so his mother must have come from Menashe, as Taisa says. And how I know he was a Rebbe? Because the Pasuk calls him a Kohen, and Kohen, we're going to say, means a superior. So he was the Rebbe of the Rebbe. So Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda said, sorry?
What's going on? Anyone?
What happened? Hello? Can everybody hear me?
Yep. Okay. Yes. Yeah. We hear you.
Okay. Says the Gemara. If everybody could please mute themselves. What was it? So when Ida Hayidi was. Omer Abba Zavda. Kolanoisin. Even though the Pasuk calls him a Kohen and we say that it means he's his Rebbe, we also learn something else from him. If anybody gives all of his donations to one Rav or to one Kohen, maybe Rav will bring a hunger or famine to the world. So it says, he was the Kohen to David. He was only a Kohen to David, not to anybody else. David used to send all of his gifts that he had to give to a Kohen to his Rebbe. And the punishment was that he robbed me David. There was a famine in the time of David because he shouldn't give everything to one person. Rabbi Lezer goes back and says if somebody paskins in front of his Rebbe, he loses his status and his stature. Shneimer says, he told him all the laws about kashering in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though Rashi says that, Megalgan is chusa de zake, but he passed in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Avagav, and he clearly said, Avagav, the Amlu Lachi Abba, even though Hashem spoke to my uncle, to Moshe Rabbeinu, Tziva, Va'oisi Leitziva, and I didn't ever hear it from Hashem, I feel Hachi Yonish, he was still punished, even though he acknowledged Moshe Rabbeinu. The Tziva says, well, from the Elazar Kohen Yamoid, that Yeshua has to go to Loza to ask questions of to him, and yet to go through the entire Tanakh of Yeshua. V'lo yashkin the each Yeshua to find any way Yeshua had to seek any help assistance from Loza. Why he was punished? For he paskin in the Moshe's presence, so he was reduced from his stature. Says in Gemara Vayta, our Rabbi called the Moshe milikamei Rabbe. Anybody who says words or paskins in front of his Rebbe. Go to the end of his life and he will not have any children or at least not any sons. You know what it says? Vayan Yeshua Benun Mishoris Moshe. Yeshua Benun answers Moshe B'chur V'yem Adonai Moshe Kolayim. When Elder and Maidah were running around the camp and testifying, and Rashi says he was saying Moshe Meis Yeshua Machnis, others saying that he just said Stam Levius, and what Yeshua said, he paskin, they should be destroyed. Uksiv, and then we find Divrei Hayamim when it lists the genealogy of Yeshua. It says in Nun Benoi Yeshua Benoi. Nun, the son, and then Yeshua, his son Yeshua. Doesn't mention the further lineage of Yeshua, because Yeshua only had daughters, didn't have any sons. So he was punished. Well, Pligi, this argues with Rab Abba Bar Papa, who says that he was punished for another reason altogether. In other words, if you hold that it was Moshe Mes Yeshua Machnis, so he stood up for the covet of his Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu. Why should he be punished? I mean, not a lot of rule, but he was standing up for the covet of his Rebbe. So therefore, the first opinion must hold that they weren't saying that; they were saying something else. The second opinion says no; they were saying Moshe Meis Yeshua Machnis, and therefore Moshe they wouldn't. What do you call it? They didn't get punished. He could not have been punished for that, but rather he's punished for something else. We have the beginning of the Gemara. Beginning of the Gemara repeats it here. The Gemara will repeat it there. Talking about the popular name, Yeshua was punished. Ela b'shvil shebitlas Yisrael la'achav v'ribehi. He denied the men to be with their wives and have tashmish that night during the war with Yerichai. Shneimer says, he be Yeshua Yerichai, Yeshua was in Yerichai, he said, if he lifted his eye, he saw this malach came to him, I am a sar that works for Hashem. Atabasi, I came now. What do you mean I came now? Obviously, Yeshua just saw him, he came now. There was a conversation going on there. What was the conversation? Omele, the malach said as follows, Emesh yesterday, bitaltim tomit shabbein abayim. Yesterday, you removed the oren. Because when you go to war, you have the Aron with you, and the Aron wasn't there. When there's no Aron, you cannot bring. Now, there were two Aronis. There was the Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu, as Tais explained, there's the Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu made, and there was the Aron that Bezalel made. In the Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu made, they had the broken Luchas, and the Aron that Bezalel made, they had the full Luchas. And when they went to war, Moshe Rabbeinu's box, the Aron, went with them, and the other Aron remained in the base of Mikdash, and all was right. When it came to Yerichai, they pulled out both Aronis, so they couldn't bring Karban Tamid. Later on in the Beis HaMikdash, they put the Shivri Luchas together with Luchas in one in the Aron of Betzalel. As we were learning more about the whole Cheshbon, how every single millimeter of that Aron is occupied, and that's why the Rebbe has a very big problem, and he has no solution how it's possible for any Frumah organization to make a picture of the Sefer Torah of the Luchas rounded on the top, when it's clearly more basa that it's square and every single millimeter is calculated that it was taken up with something. And if it was round, then there was plenty of open space. And the Gemara clearly said there was nothing open there. Everything was taken up with the Shivri Luchas, the Luchas, and maybe the Sefer Torah. There's an argument there. But anyway, so you see, yesterday you did not bring a carbon tumah shebei levayim because you had the Urn outside and you didn't bring it back. And the Achshava now be tautum Talmud Torah. And now it's at night, you're not letting them learn Torah. And because they were still they were busy fighting the war, they had no time to learn Torah at night. And you didn't let them do Torah. So the so boss Yeshua asked us, so what are you coming to me for? Amale said, Atabasi. You know what I'm coming to you for? I'm not coming to you for the carbon tummy that you didn't do. It's rather, and the fact that it's at night and you guys are tired, I guess, and you didn't learn any Torah. They should have been learning Torah at night, they didn't. How did he do tshuva? Miyad vayelech tshuva laila hu b'toich ha'emi. That night he went b'toich ha'emi into the valley. V'rabbi Yochanan melamed shaholach ba'oim kishal lochad. He started to learn Torah that night. Ugimidi we learned. Kol zman she'oron v'shchina shruyin sh'leibim ha'kaimim. When the Oron and the Shechina are not inside the Mishkan, so because the Oron was outside there with the waging a war with Yerichai, asudim b'tashra mitah. Nobody's going to have tashra shamitah. So that's why they couldn't have tashra mitah that night, and he was punished. What was his punishment? In that he didn't fulfill the mitzvah puravu. He didn't have a son. He had daughter, didn't have a son. You see that learning Torah or the lack of it is a greater sin or a greater mitzvah than bring a carbon tamid. Because the Malach said, I'm not coming to punish you for missing out the carbon tamid in the afternoon. I'm coming to you now because you guys didn't learn Torah at night. Anybody decides to move into the bedroom, where a man, a husband, and wife are living there, it's obviously the opposite sneers. And even though we had the Gemara there in Chagiga, where Rav Kahana did it, but he did it for Lashem Shemayim. If you go in the private bedroom of a man and a wife, all of our Kosov Omer, the Torah says regarding this person, you've chased away the women of my people because you're intruded in their private room. Even though the wife might be in Nidra, so there's no real intimacy there, still, you have no right to be there. Because at least they can have conversations, and now you're there, you completely made them uncomfortable. Rava disagrees. He says, on the contrary, you're helping them out, making sure they don't do an Aveda. Everyone disagrees with Rava, the Adi Idam Anotve. If so, then we should, and every night when he's not there, who protects them, who safeguards them, they don't do an Aveda. Obviously, we trust them. Says the Gemara, there was a street. We're going back now to Edom for a short time. There was a street, David Dayeboy, that lived there, a goy. His name was Lachman Baristik. Actually, Ben Chananel says his name was Haman. Lahaman Baristik. And he obviously was a Rasha, and he refused to help the Eden out making the Eden. Remember, he learned how do you make an Eden include the goy? You have to rent the property from him. The Eden, you just take a piece of bread from everybody, or they're mevatel their rishus. They cancel their rights. That means they cannot carry there, but everybody else can. But here, there's the goy, you have to rent it from him. And he refused. What should we do? There's a number of Eden here and we can't carry it because this goy refuses to allow us to rent the space. Amru told him, I'll give you an eitzah. This is a drei. Zilu go, betilu reshusaychu legabichad. Let's say you are five people. So four of you give up, you renounce your rights here to this courtyard and or to the street and give it to one person. So all you have now is one yid. And what did we learn before? According to Abelezim and Yaakov, the Lachad like him, if you only have one yid and one guy, since it's not shkiach, the yid is a lot of carry, doesn't have to make an eid with the guy. It's only two yidin because we don't want you to live with a guy, and two yidin would move together. We don't believe one yid generally would live with a guy. So treat it as if there's only one yid living here, and therefore there's no problem. One person with a goy, the yochid makom nochi, the aser is permitted. So that's the day. Omulei, they weren't comfortable. They said, "Meet you at time." It doesn't make sense. They said to Abaya, the whole logic is lishkir daidit. One yid will not live with one goy, so we're not going to make that. Remember, a goy really doesn't aser. His deer is not in a house. Doesn't aser on the yid in the street or in the courtyard. We're only doing it so we don't want people to live next to goyim to learn from their bad deeds. So we made it a bit more difficult. But if it's one yid, then it hardly ever happens. But here, in truth, there's five yidin, so we are going to live here. So it's not difficult. You know, we are living here. So therefore, l'chayde, we should have to have a native. V'ha'cha k'dayde. Amus, Abaye said, no. I'm trying to help you guys out. Kol b'tula l'shesaychek abechad noshkicha. It's also very uncommon for four neighbors to renounce all their rights and give it to that one person. And therefore, since it's something which is not common, we're not going to make any gzeres, and we're going to allow you to deal with the one guy. Now, what do we gain? Because l'chayde, the four people here cannot actually carry on the Shabbos because they renounce their rights. It's only that one person who can carry that on the Shabbos. So what do we exactly gain from here? It helps even for them that any kalim that are already in the main street, they can, when Shabbos starts, they can move it around in that street. And any kalim that are inside this one person's house, they can move back and forth to the courtyard, to the street, and back and forth. That's all. That's the game. It's minimal, but at least something. Says the Gemara, whenever you also Rav Huna Bereshu heard this psak, he was a bit puzzled. Omnuk, I mean, it's a pulpus, a good dray, but he wasn't comfortable. Omnuk Lishmaitik, he went to Rav and told him what happened. Omale, so Rav said, if you're going to do that kind of a dray, im ken so, but tal to teiris edel moise mavi. That mavi, what's going to happen is, they're never going to have an error because they're going to rely that the yid, you know, that all the Edom will renounce their Edom. And what's happened over time is they're going to forget, or the next generation are not even going to know that everyone has to renounce their rights. And then eventually they're going to start carrying, they're thinking that you don't have to do anything, it's all right. Or thinking that maybe with a goy there, everything makes it all right. In came Batalta Torah's Edom Oisamava, you completely remove the laws of Edom from that street. The Ma'ar the Yemru, they'll say, Edom's Moyer Mokam Nachri. They're going to think that maybe an Edom helps. When there's a goy, they don't realize that you have to, you know, normally with a goy you have to rent, and here there's a whole delay, and they don't even know that. Says the Gemara. So someone asks a question. So why don't we say the Ma'arvi? Let them make an Edom every week, even though let them go through the motions, even though it's not really the Edom that doesn't do anything for them because you have a goy there, but at least they'll know there's a concept of an Edom. Says the Gemara. Yomru Edom Moyer Mokam Nachri. People make a mistake and think that if there's a goy there, all you have to do is an Edom. They don't realize you have to rent the property from him. So the Gemara says, the machrizinon. So why don't they make an announcement and say, you should know that we're going through the motions of an eder, but it's meaningless. And we are not actually carrying from our chutzah to the courtyard, to the street. Only this one person can carry. And so on. So the Gemara says, achrasta ledardige. Who's going to announce the next generation? They don't exactly understand what's going on here. And they didn't maybe understand that chroz and hear it, and they don't know, and they are making all these assumptions which are wrong. What should you do? This, I have another answer for you. Lazel chad menayu, one of the yidin living there, you have a goy in your neighborhood that refuses to join in. One of the yidin should go lekadavle, become very close to the goy, become a friend. Velishel menay duchte, and borrow, say to the goy, do you mind if I use your share of the chotzer or whatever, or in your chotzer, I want to put some things down in the chotzer. And if the guy says, yeah, no problem, you can leave your table there or something, the lane of me to put something there. So it sounds like from the Gemara that you actually have to put something there. It's not enough to just say, I want to use it. It's like a full-time employee or like a seasonal employee. And the fact that you have now a right in the guy's property by putting a table or something, so you now have a part ownership in the guy's property, so you join the Eidim with the Eden, and that's good enough because the guy's property automatically is pulled in. And Amar Rabbi Mishmuel, I feel a schid, I feel a kite, that even just an employee of the guy, or a seasonal employee, Noishinei Ruvedai, puts in, it gives the Edev, and that's good enough. And that is good enough. And Amar, let's finish Gemara here. Amar Abaye, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Hoyusham, let's say there was five in the house of the guy, there were Chamisha Schidei, let's say there were five Yidin there, their employees, or Hei Likite, five seasonal employees, each one had their own room. Now, if each one actually owned the room in the apartment, of course, obviously, you all have to be part of the Edom to give it over. But the thing is, it's all the guys. And the question is, you just said that they now, these Yidin, have a share in the house. So the five Yidin there, does that mean that they now, if they didn't join the Edom, does that mean that they asked for the Edom? Because you said that an employee, you used that as a kula, that an employee means they take over the ownership of the guy's place, and therefore they can be part of the Edom. What if they forgot to be part of the Edom? Does that mean if one of the Eden they forgot, and one of the other Eden went ahead and made the Edom, does that mean that nobody can carry now the chutzik because one of the Eden employees didn't participate? Just because we said that's a full-time employee or a part-time employee, to make it easier so it's a goy's property, we'll treat it as if the yid has, you know, has a part ownership and he can contribute and he can then give the aid of. You want to say that you want to be machmer as well and say that that should cause problems, that far we don't go. We're not going to say lechumra to say that if one of the yidden employees there didn't participate, it ruins it for everybody else. That far we're not going to say. Okay, we'll stop here.